Hello, I'm RJ City, and you are listening to the Monster Cast. You're going to talk about Bela Lugosi. They're going to talk about Lon Chaney Jr. He'd be so sad, holding his hat, saying, "Please put me in this room and don't unlock the door." And you can't do any better than the Dahl brothers, Jack and Ryan. They're brothers, but they're also bros. What? Pardon? Wrestling. Well, who the hell wants to talk about wrestling? These are horror movies. It's a deep genre. It's a smart genre. Fantastic actors. Fantastic cinematography. Wrestling is just sweating and fireworks and bouncy ropes. There's nothing. So how do you talk about that every week? All right. Let's see them try. Take it away, you crazy dolls.
What's up, you guys? Sean Rossap of Fightful here. You're watching the Monster Cast with Jack and Ryan. A big shout out to those fellas. Good people. Check them out.
Jake and Brian. Brandon Cutler here from AEW, and I hope you guys have an awesome podcast with the Monster Cast. What was that? Your name is Jack and Ryan? Shut up, Jack and Ryan.
Wrestling podcast? How fucking original.
I guess I just, you're welcome.
Here's your host of the Monster Cast, the Straight Edge Monster, Jack and Ryan.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to a special edition of the Monster Cast. Technically, not really, because it's still Sunday, and technically this is when we do our shit, but usually we don't do them on an actual pay-per-view day like tonight at All Out. But because we didn't really have a show last week and because of the shit that happened yesterday, obviously, how do you not hop on here and give your thoughts? Hopefully everybody enjoys All Out in Chicago today, despite everything that happened yesterday. I know some people will really enjoy it, some people won't enjoy it, some people are more central to the idea, like me and Sean Rossap. I feel like me and him are pretty much on the same wavelength, who went live with the news yesterday that CM Punk was indeed fired from AEW based off an external investigation and the fact that CM Punk didn't know that the UK has cameras everywhere. So so he couldn't lie his way out of that one. So we're going to start with the CM Punk thing. Obviously, I'm rocking the CM Punk shirt today, or one of my many. The funniest thing about this yesterday was like, dude, I, no joke, so AEW had a Labor Day sale yesterday, and they have it all weekend. Obviously, they do this every year for All Out. I bought two new figures yesterday.
Were they both?
You
want to
guess what the figures were?
CM Punk and Jack Perry, probably.
No, close. It was CM Punk. I got the LJN figure because I didn't know that it was released already and ready to buy. I had gotten a notification, an email about the series, like series 12 or some shit. That's up for pre-order, and I was like looking through their stuff, and I was like, I was trying to figure out how many fucking people I was gonna have to buy from that set, which I believe is a lot because I think House of Black is in that one, and I have no House of Black members. But now I'm kind of going back and forth if I want to wait to see if they come out with the white gear action figures for them, because I thought that was really cool at All In. So I went to another series set for, I don't even know what series this was. It has to be Unrivaled, I guess. It's Unmatched, because that's the one with the LJN figures. But I got the CM Punk LJN, and who did Jack Perry wrestle in the match? He wrestled Hook. Hook's first figure. So I thought that was interesting. So those are the two figures I ordered, and then hours later, like by about 6-7 hours later, the news broke that CM Punk was fired. I am rocking some shoes today. I didn't pull out the LeBrons today, because they don't really match my outfit here. But I do have the Jordan Laneys.
Talking about the pink ones?
The pink ones, yeah.
They don't match anything.
Well, that's true. True. But I got the Jordan Laneys here, the blue and the yellow. from his high school days. I actually bought dad a pair of these. Well,
that makes sense since he actually went there, yeah.
Yeah, he actually went to Laney, the same school as Jordan. But yeah, I got these when they came out, bought two pairs, bought him a pair. Had to get him like little kid shoes because he's got small feet.
He's like, a 7?
No, I think 6.5. Something like that. 6 or 6.5. But they were cheaper because they were kids' shoes. So that worked out for me.
Genetics are weird. How the fuck do we end up normal heights?
I don't know, bro. We must have got it from the mom side because mom's all pretty tall, yeah.
I don't know how the fuck she
is. I mean, I'm not tall, but, you know, like, proportions as far as, like, hands and feet. Yeah. But anyway. I got the party going today. All out party, obviously, as well. Speaking of, I haven't been able to talk since our all-in predictions. I also picked up the Jamie Hayter all-in figure because obviously she was supposed to be a big part of that show. 1 of 1,000. Still hasn't arrived yet, but people are already selling this fucking figure on eBay for up to $400. So that's insane. So now I'm just baiting on, do I want to do a quick turnaround cash grab? Or do I want to keep it because I don't have any Hayter figures, which is the whole reason I went to go get it anyway. But I will say that I paid $65 for the Hayter figure, and that's with a protector. The two figures I got yesterday, the CM Punk and the Hook figure, equaled pretty much the exact same as the fucking Jamie Hayter figure.
When I sold so I had the Ric Flair Micro Ballers that I'd won accidentally. So I was watching one of Colt Cabana's fucking Whatnot auctions a while back, and I didn't really understand how the app worked. And I thought that when I tap the button, it would like let me put in the price or whatever that I was willing to do, but no, they're like, oh, you're the next bidder, like that's it. So I ended up accidentally fucking winning them, and I resold all 8 of them, including 2 chase variants, for like about 400. So it's pretty crazy that her figure has only been out as long as it has been, and still, I guess, because she didn't actually go, so it's kind of like a rare.
Yeah, well, the good thing is that they, at the end of the pay-per-view, they announced that they're going to go back to Wembley next year. But I know you immediately texted me. I was like, all right, let's go, bro. Get your passport.
You should get a fucking passport.
So anyway, I
don't know how you don't.
I don't want to come out of the confines of my house. I have a fucking, I literally live 4 minutes beside the Gulf Coast Coliseum. Why don't Tony Khan bring his fucking people here so I can literally travel 4 minutes away and go to a show?
Somebody 4 minutes away.
So I think the last big wrestling show here was fucking, I looked it up the other day. It was a WCW. I don't know if it was a Bash at the Beach, maybe. Bash at the Beach in like 91, 92, some crazy shit like that. It was like, I mean, they've had Raws and SmackDowns, but like big show. I'm saying big show.
It's a fucking swamp, bro.
Not here, not right here. This is the beach, baby. This is the beach. Let's go. Back to the beach. What do they have? They have the, what do they fucking call it? Their shit that they always go into, they always do the fucking, like, the summer theme shit, but it's in, like, February. And everybody's like, why the fuck are you doing it in February and in Ohio and shit like that? But they call it, I forgot what they call it. What the fuck they call it in AEW, dude? I'm not stupid. Trust me. I know what I'm talking about.
I have no idea what the fuck you're talking about.
Give me a second. It's like one of those special dynamites and rampages they always do, like Winter is Coming type deal. Fighter Fest, all that shit.
It's summer themed and they do it in
Beach
February.
Break. Yeah, Beach Break. That's it. So okay. Beach Break in 2022 was in fucking Cleveland, Ohio in January. In January. Beach Break. Let's make the theme make sense, guys. Beach Break over here in the Gulf Coast Coliseum. Let's go. Nobody runs this shit. It can't be that expensive to run over here. Let's do it. Give us a shot.
Hold on. Wait a second. Just so we're on the same page, because now I'm worried. I mean, there are beaches in Ohio. You know that, right?
January!
I understand that, but
and it's not really a beach. That's not really a beach.
Huh?
That's not a real beach.
What do you mean?
It's not a real beach, dude. That's not... You can't say that there's a beach in Ohio, dude. That's not what Beach Break is. That's not what Great American Bash is. That's not what that's about. Or Bash at the Beach. Whatever.
Lake beaches are beaches.
Dude, you know what the fuck the shit is supposed to be. There's a reason why WCW never ran fucking Ohio for Bash at the Beach. Let's be real here. And it sure the fuck wasn't in January.
Yeah, I just don't think you knew that there was a beach there.
Anyway, I got the party going tonight. Got some friends coming over to watch All Out. Shut up. You know what it is. Don't try to irk me already, dude. This is the new Sweet Baby Ray's limited edition garlic buffalo sauce. I'm putting this on my wings tonight. This is gonna be awesome. I'm gonna cook with this.
Respect for Lake Erie.
Shut up. And speaking of beaches, Alabama has some too. They have also, I didn't know this even existed until like a week ago, right? Not beaches, but this sauce that I'm about to show you. My friend Michael from work, big wrestling fan, big fan of the show. He told me some shit. He said, yeah, you know, Alabama has their own barbecue sauce. And you know, when we think barbecue sauce is obviously Carolina, right? They have two different kinds. They have the vinegar-based and the mustard-based, depending on if you go to South or North Carolina. You got Kansas City. There's another one I'm forgetting. That's a really big... But anyway, there's a few different ones that are based off the region. Well, I didn't know Alabama had their own. Apparently, Alabama white sauce, white barbecue sauce, is a real thing. And Duke's makes it, which obviously Duke's is a big deal in Carolinas. So I picked this up today as well. I'm going to try this out. I'm going to do half of my wings in Alabama white sauce and half of them in my Sweet Baby Ray's garlic buffalo. We'll see.
I'm assuming you've tested this first, right?
I've tested nothing. Like... I've tested neither. They're both sealed. I literally got them today at the grocery store. Hey, if they don't before like them, they don't have to eat them.
No, listen. Before you fuck up a bunch of wings with it, you should taste it first.
I got one really bag of wings. I'm doing burgers. It's not like wings is the only thing I'm doing. I'm doing burgers, hot dogs, and I got a bag of wings. No big deal. Hey, if they don't like it and I like it, dude, I'm not going to care. That's more for me.
You might not like it, then you're fucking up a bunch of wings.
That's why I can't. You can't fuck up garlic buffalo.
You can fuck up garlic buffalo.
We're going to find out.
Domino's fucks it up every day.
All right, so we got to get to the biggest news of yesterday, which obviously was CM Punk getting axed by Tony Khan and company. And by company, I mean the disciplinary committee or whatever the hell the fuck they're called, which is funny. A lot of funny memes out there. I'm not going to lie. I've laughed at a lot of them. OK, I'm going to say this as a huge CM Punk fan. He did this to himself. OK, like there's no way around this. If he just didn't touch Jack Perry, we would not be having this conversation. That's all he had to not do, right? So as soon as he touched him, whether or not he actually got fired for the Tony Khan part of it, which is what seems to be coming out now, and apparently there's another story, another layer to this that we don't know yet, that's probably going to break soon, or rumors are going to fly around, obviously. It wouldn't have mattered, because if he wouldn't have touched Perry, it would have never got to that point, right? So... Brody King can kick all the trash cans he wants. Malachi Black can be as mad as he wants. FTR can be as mad as they want. Danhausen at the house can be as mad as he wants. Be mad that CM Punk did this to himself. He literally did this to himself. I understand his frustration with getting mad at Jack Perry for what he did. And Jack Perry's fucking, if that's actually what Jack Perry said, and he said, I was just doing it to get heat because I'm a heel, that's fucking bullshit. Because it had nothing to do with anything that was going on Collision, Dynamite. It was a thing that happened backstage that it was reported on. And then you tried to use that to get over as a heel. That doesn't make any sense. So I don't agree with that at all.
Hold on a second. CM Punk is not the person to be bitching about anything like that. He made his whole fucking career and name on smarky little fucking slipping things in promos and talking shit to people in promos and all of that. All the way through the entirety of his popularity in WWE, and he's done it in AEW too. So for him to complain about that makes him a hypocritical bitch. I don't care.
I think it matters big time. So anyway, but as soon as he fucking did whatever, the pie face or whatever the fuck they said, and put him in the chokehold, or and then they started knocking down the monitors or whatever, or possibly knocking down the monitors on top of Tony Khan, or it was a close call or some shit. You're gone. We said this last time when they eventually brought him back, right? It's got to be a one and done type situation. And he was already flirting with the line anyway with Nick Nemeth, with his Dolph Ziggler's brother, and some other shit where he's got Daniels thrown out, which we both thought was fucking really dumb because it didn't make any sense, because Daniels is literally head of talent relations or whatever the hell you want to call it. So to not have him on the show would make zero sense. Ace Steel needs to be fired now next. It's going to be very hard because you would have to have calls for that too, because he's already clearly either signed a new contract with the new stipulations, or he's just going based off his old contract, which I don't think ends for another year. So you just let it run out, I guess, at this point, just to play it safe, possibly. But there's really no need to have him now.
Yeah,
it just sucks because you had all in. It sucks because you had all in, right? And it was the biggest thing, and it was a great show. I think it could have been better, but it was a great show. I don't think it was their best pay per view. But it looked awesome. It sounded pretty good. I was very scared about the sound guy that's been pretty much fucking up since day one, since he came over from WWE. Came off pretty well on TV. But yeah, of course, like in the middle of that show, or not even the middle of the show, the beginning of the show, it was reported that fast by Sean Ross Sapp. And then all the shit started coming out. And of course, we got a bunch of bullshit stories. We got some of the real stuff, the actual real stuff later on, obviously after the fact. But it like kind of, that's what everybody was really talking about. It fucked up everything. And that's the common theme with CM Punk, is that every time he does something, it just engulfs the cool shit that you just saw. Think about how good All Out was. And then what was everybody talking about? The fucking Brawl Out shit. You can't keep having that as Tony Khan. And what I would like to say is I'll commend Tony Khan for finally stepping up and doing something. I'm very glad he did something instead of waiting fucking 9 months like he did the first time before we finally got a resolution to it, and no comment this, no comment that, whatever. He actually took some initiative this time. He fucking knew the first time what was going to happen. He just didn't want to blow it for the second dance or the last dance or whatever the fuck they called it. He should have announced that, yes, he's still under contract and all this stuff. He shouldn't have been like, no comment every fucking time. I will say this. I don't know. I assume that you saw the video of him coming out and talking to the Chicago crowd, yeah. Right? He knew, like, you got some balls to do that, bro. Like, you got some balls to do that. You knew they were going to shit on you. And even when you started turning them in your favor, because obviously you were buttering them up manager style with the whole, I grew up here. We all knew you grew up here. We know. We've heard the story a million times. And then they weren't falling for that shit. And then they started slightly getting on his side when he started talking about the success of All In and, you know, the history as a whole. And then as soon as he started talking about he felt his life was in danger, they started shitting on him again. Like, really, dude, you felt your life was in danger? Now, I understand that. But now with this new level of story that's coming out, or that's going to probably come out, that says there was another incident when they were together, then maybe his life, he might have felt that. I mean, Tony Khan is a, what, 150-pound dude?
Well, here's the thing about that, when people have been trying to make fun of it or whatever, is that, according to the report, whatever scuffle happened between Jack and Punk knocked over a bunch of monitors. Now, I don't know if this was one of those, like, big stacks of, like, the 3x3s or whatever, where you're looking like a bunch of shit, but people have died from having AV shit fall on them. Like, that's not like an unusual or fucking weird thing to say.
You don't have to have it fall on you. You could just be around equipment malfunction, you know, you can die.
Yeah, like,
I mean, there's been people working on WWE sets that have passed away.
Yeah, like, there's, well, yeah.
I mean, but I think he fell off of something, but you get what I'm saying. Like, it doesn't take, like, you can die 100,000 different fucking ways at a wrestling event.
There used to be a Spike TV show about it. You can go watch it. But, yeah, like, the idea of someone's life being at risk when somebody's knocking over a bunch of heavy equipment shit because they can't control their goddamn emotions, everybody reacting to that, like, oh, what a pussy. Like, did he think Punk was going to kill him?
Nobody's, I won't say he's a pussy, like, but I will say that it came off corny. Like, he didn't need to say that, is what I would say.
Yeah, I agree with that. But the idea that it's exaggerating in some way, I mean, it's really not. Not really.
So here's the difference in why I will always side with,
or was going to choke him to death or something. It's just that Punk wasn't paying attention to what
the
fuck he was doing.
I mean, he could have, though. Like, with that extra layer story that we haven't heard yet, who knows what the fuck maybe he threatened to do something to him there, like he did with Perry or whatever, when he said, you know, I can kick your ass, right, or whatever. But anyway, the other thing is like, the funny thing about this is I give, and I think you like him a little bit more than I do, but I give Eric Bischoff a lot of shit on the show. There's two guys that people get a shit on all the time because they pretty much buried WCW, right? And that was Vince Russo and Eric Bischoff. The way that they both came about, like, responded to the story of CM Punk being fired, is exactly why Eric Bischoff keeps getting chances and Vince Russo has to do Dark Sides of the Ring. Vince Russo is a fucking idiot.
Oh my God, dude.
Eric Bischoff literally says, hey, you need to do so and so and so and so and so and so. I shit on you if you don't do that. Hey, if you did do that though, which he did this time, Eric Bischoff says, I commend Tony Khan. That had to be a hard decision. Eric Bischoff knows that's a hard decision because Eric Bischoff knows that he had to go through that shit every day, whether he wanted to think Hogan was his friend or not. He had to do that shit all the time with Hogan. What happened when Vince Russo met Hogan and they didn't get along? He fucking fired him. He fucking fired him at Bash at the Beach 2000 against Jeff Jarrett when Jeff Jarrett laid down. They had a whole Dark Side of the Ring episode about it. All right?
Yeah.
So when it should not shock anyone that Vince Russo, when he came out with his statement, how dumb it was, and Eric Bischoff is applauding Tony Khan for his decision.
Well, you would think that Vince Russo would understand having to fire someone, which is why it was even dumber, because he's talking about all this shit like, oh, we have people getting stuff.
Here's the difference. Is Vince Russo's sorry ass. He waited till Hogan left so he couldn't get his ass beat by Hogan, because there's no way he would have done that shit in the ring with Hogan. I promise you that. So his life was never in danger.
Yeah. The whole life in danger thing, like, is it exaggerated? Like, is it played up a little bit? Kind of, but is it something that could have ended in someone dying? Yeah, if you're fucking scuffling around a bunch of equipment and shit's falling over, yeah, dude. Even if it wasn't Tony Khan, could have been a fucking, like, a backstage worker, somebody just standing there holding a clipboard. Like, you are putting people in danger when you're doing shit like that.
Like, you're putting yourself in danger. You're supposed to go out there and fight fucking Samoa Joe. You could have got hurt doing that shit.
That too. And I think that was probably part of it too. Just like, how fucking irresponsible are you that you know that you're about to open this pay-per-view and you're going to try to go get into like a real fight right beforehand? It's so stupid.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that was stupid and could have been avoided there. Like, I don't know if I would. I mean, not that Tony Khan knew that Jack Perry was going to say that, right? But I don't know if I would have had Jack Perry's match and then CM Punk right after it, so they have to pass each other anyway, right? So even if I didn't know that he was going to say that, I probably would have been like, maybe not. Maybe CM Punk with Samoa Joe can go on second instead of first. But anyway, Samoa Joe, shout out to Samoa Joe, because him and Punk did have a really good match at All In. I think it was a lot better than their Dynamite match. And I appreciate Samoa Joe for talking him into coming out so that we could actually have that match. So
Pepsi
I appreciate Samoa Joe.
Pepsi Plunge looked like shit, though. Jesus Christ.
Huh?
The Pepsi Plunge looked like shit.
I mean, they did the best they could. It was fucking Samoa Joe, who's a 300-pound dude, trying to take it, too. It didn't look great, but it could have been the camera angle, too, because I really hate some of the AEW camera angles, by the way.
They do too much is when Moxley's...
I also feel like he did it off the wrong turnbuckle anyway. Why'd he do it off the turnbuckle that was facing the other way so that the camera has to come around the fucking corner and like get all up in it when he should have been doing it towards the hard cam?
Yeah, I don't know.
But anyway, it was I thought it was a really good match.
Their camera work, it bothers me when they do shit like that. Okay, so Moxley has been caught on camera blading multiple times, and people will say that that's Moxley's fault, but it's not. That's the production crew's fault. Like, if you take a big spot and you see a dude like on the ground like this, you don't go zoom in on him. You zoom in on the fucking heel who's playing up to the camera after the big spot he just did to cause the blood. But every, like, four times now, the TV crew, for whatever reason, will switch cameras to Moxley and fucking zoom in on him while he's doing his, like, little forehead rub thing. It's so stupid. You know what he's doing. Get the fucking camera on the other guy. And people will bitch at Moxley about that. Like, oh, he's blading so openly. Everybody blades equally openly. The difference is the production crews and other companies don't put the fucking camera right on him when he's doing it. You're so stupid.
No, I totally agree with that. And then there's other things that they do where they're literally fighting in the middle of the ring and they'll cut to the fans that aren't doing anything anyway. I don't give a fuck what the fans are doing, dude. I don't care. That's not what I paid $50 for to watch the fucking fans. I don't care. Yeah. Now, for an entrance or a reaction, you got the zoom out thing. Okay, I understand that. That's cool. But nothing annoys me more than the WWE thing when Edge came back and we missed the spear. Like, that's fucking annoying. Miss his debut spear after fucking 9 years of being gone or whatever. Because you wanted to fucking have your camera on fans that you've already played up a shit ton on the entrance anyway. Yeah, so shit like that really annoys me. I don't know if they're just going through a transition period with new camera people, obviously, because obviously a lot of the staff for wrestling are in the business for a long time before they retire. So maybe we're starting to get some turnover, I don't know, and they're just not up to snuff as far as the previous brigade that was in charge of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, maybe.
All right. So, like, do you think Khan's hands were tied here? Basically, he had to do this.
When you've got a prior incident of this, which he did from the All Out stuff, and then on top of that, you are the one who, by all accounts that aren't yours and your friends, are the one who instigated it. Not just were the first one to get physical, but also the first one to instigate it, because there's a report in the September 4th, so tomorrow's edition of the Wrestling Observer newsletter, from a neutral party who is not a wrestler. So the way that it's worded, it makes it sound like it's somebody that's like staff at Wembley who reported this. That when Jack Perry was coming backstage, it was fucking Punk that went up to him. So you could have just not had that interaction. You had a match coming up on next. Just don't fucking go over there. You do your shit, you swallow that, and then you have that conversation when you're done with your match. So he's the one that went up to him and said, do we have a fucking problem or whatever? And then that's when Perry said, I'm doing it to get heat, which Punk should understand because he's been doing this his whole fucking career. So for him to complain about it makes him sound like a goddamn goofball. Then at that point, that's when what was described as a sucker punch by the neutral party was thrown and then got him. He tried to get him in like a front face. People keep saying like, oh, Jack Perry was getting choked out or whatever. What it sounds like is that he grabbed around Perry's head and tried to put him in a fucking headlock, like a front face lock headlock.
Guillotine or something.
And then it was like immediately broken up. So I don't think at any point was Jack Perry like choking or like any kind of danger. I've seen CM Punk's attempt at a fucking guillotine in the Mike Jackson fight. And it was so funny because it's like a white belt level counter to a guillotine. All Mike Jackson does is fucking stand up and arch his neck and back, which is literally the white belt counter to a guillotine. And instead of letting go, what Punk does is he just hangs on, fucking brings his leg up like a koala, and just fucking hangs on the guy in no advantageous position or whatever and waits to get fucking slammed on his back. So there's no danger in a CM Punk guillotine. So even if he had it on, I think Perry probably would have been okay. But from the report, no, it's literally just like he got him in a front face lock for a few seconds, and then not even a few seconds before everything got broken up. Punk was entirely the aggressor in this based on the neutral reports and on like 10 other fucking reports. The only side that says that Perry was the one that came up to him or anything like that is the side that came out first when he was trying to get ahead of it by releasing his own shit, where he magically looked, and you could tell it's his side because anytime Punk's side of something comes out, he's done nothing wrong. I can't believe they fired me. I did everything right. He's that fucking level of delusional about his own behavior. He's fucking Donald Trump.
He could have got away with it too if it wasn't for the UK just having cameras everywhere.
There would have been enough ambiguity to not understand what started it without cameras, yes. Because normally you don't notice that something like that is happening until it's already like escalated. So,
you know, what I'll say about you, when you said he should have been like just stood over to the side and just waited and swallowed it and went out there, right? He could have also done that and then just talked to Tony Khan after and be like, hey, I got a problem with that. You're supposed to be such good friends with Tony Khan. Tony Khan would have handled that. But hey, man, you need to do something about that because that's bullshit. Like, there's no reason to bring that up on TV if he had that big of a problem with it, which obviously he did.
He could have took that road too. Doing the same shit. That's the worst part to me, is not like him getting fucking upset about it or whatever and fucking up his own career for the third time. But what bothers me is that everybody's like, oh, well, Jack Perry, you shouldn't have said that, blah, blah. Oh, CM Punk doesn't do stuff. CM Punk made his fucking name doing stuff like that. So the idea that he is in any position to get mad about is a fucking joke.
I disagree with that part of it, but not the first part that you said, but that he shouldn't have got mad. Like, I totally understand why he got mad about it. Because the reports were that he was told by Tony and TK to go to Jack Perry to even talk about the fucking glass spot in the first place.
That was his report, yes. The other thing is, being told to go, like, go talk to a younger guy and say blah, blah, blah. First of all, that's nobody's saying that he was wrong to do that. Like, do you understand?
But that's not what he got mad about. He got mad because he did that, and then he still took the shot at him on TV.
But Jungle Boy wasn't mad about being told no. Jungle Boy was mad because that was Punk's side that leaked that fucking story like weeks after it happened.
I don't know about all that. But here's the deal. There's another report that I just got on my Wrestle feed, which take this with a grain of salt because they love WWE a little bit too much, a little biased for my taste, but I don't really have any other apps since Wrestling Inc. closed their app fucking thing, and I don't like to go on Safari every time I want to fucking catch up on wrestling news. So It says CM Punk reportedly wanted to leave AEW when the Elite re-signed a month ago.
Well, explain why he's starting shit with Nemeth.
Well, there was a meeting that was supposed to take place a few days before All In that came out from Sean Ross Sapp that got canceled by the Elite last second or whatever. So that's, I assume that he wanted to try to bury something there. And then when that got canceled or whatever, that probably didn't help matters either. But let me read the little article right quick. And then I'll throw up the two pictures that I saved of the thing that you sent me with Dave Meltzer and the actual AEW release statement. There are some people who believe that Kenny Omega, Adam Page, and the Young Bucks would leave the company they helped start after CM Punk's return in AEW earlier this summer, but the group decided to stay. Punk, however, ended up parting ways with AEW instead as he got fired after his fight with Jungle Boy backstage at All In last week, which endangered people who had nothing to do with it and even affected AEW president Tony Khan. On Wrestling Observer Radio, it was noted that there are many people in AEW who believe Punk was trying to get out of the company after the Elite signed new deals last month, and another theory floating around, rumor backstage among people in AEW, is that Punk started to want out when Collision ratings settled where they did. Collision mostly averages around 500,000 live viewers every Saturday. Now, obviously, a lot of people already knew that the numbers weren't going to be that big. We knew that, I didn't have a problem with them running on Saturday because it's still a time slot that other wrestling companies didn't have. We already knew they were going to take a huge hit. College football just started this weekend, so that's not going to help matters either, especially if they have a big primetime game on Saturday night. So I don't know why he's so concerned with the numbers unless he automatically thinks in his head that, hey, I'm not better than the Elite and what they're doing on Dynamite because my numbers are not as good, which is a dumb way to look at it, though.
That is a dumb way to measure it, but he's not as good, and he needs to sit with that. This is the fragile ego problem again. Yes.
All right, let me pull up the picture. Stupid. Let's do the Dave Meltzer one first that you sent me. Here it is up on the screen. Another version, and this would be a neutral source who was not a wrestler but was there and witnessed it, and his version was that right after Perry came to the back, Punk went nose-to-nose with him aggressively and asked him if he had a problem. That person said Perry said he was just looking to get heat as a heel. Punk shoved him hard. Perry got in his face, and in that version, Punk sucker punched him and then went for a choke. People immediately broke it up, and Khan was yelling at Punk to let him go. That person said that once they were separated, Punk lunged in Khan's direction, but a number of people got in his way while Punk was yelling, "I quit." Monitors were knocked down during all this. Joe was very upset and went to calm Punk down. That's why I gave the shout out to Punk earlier. Here's the thing, is that Punk, yeah, Joe. I gave Joe credit earlier. But anyway, so Punk, there's a lot of reports out there that their AEW internally is expecting an explosive response from CM Punk, whether it be on a podcast, TV show, what have you. But if that report is accurate, and it seems to be, if you yell "I quit," what are you mad about? You can't do anything. You quit. Tony Khan would be like, "You said I quit. Okay, whatever." As soon as you had your match and came back to the back, he, Vince McMahon, Ultimate Warriored your ass, right? You said you wanted out unless you got more money, etc. He has the match at Survivor Series or SummerSlam or whatever the fuck it was. He comes back through the curtain. Vince says, "Okay, you're fired." Like, that's it. Like, you said I quit, so you fucked up. Anyway, now let's go to the AEW statement right quick, and I'll let you get back in on it. Statement from All Elite Wrestling. Of course, you've probably seen this all over social media and stuff, but I'll do it real quick. I'll just do the top part here because we already know Khan's quotes and stuff, especially he made it even more before Collision and at the beginning of Collision. But anyway, All Elite Wrestling has terminated the wrestler and employment agreements between Phillip Brooks and AEW with cause effective immediately. The termination was confirmed today by Tony Khan, CEO, general manager, and head of creative of AEW. The termination follows a week-long internal investigation of an incident occurring backstage at AEW All In London on Sunday, August 27th. Following the investigation, the AEW Discipline Committee met and later convened with outside legal counsel before making a unanimous recommendation to Tony Khan that CM Punk be terminated with cause. Now, here's the deal. Even if they did that, it was still Tony Khan's call. So he could have still technically been like, "Nah, I'm going to give him a third shot." So even, I do like that he has that in place, right? So, like, he can go with a gut feeling type deal. Like, yeah, this is what this said, but if Tony Khan was also who was also in the vicinity when all that shit was going on, if he still felt like, nah, maybe that's a little skewed or whatever, he still has the ultimate final say, which I like. Obviously, you have two different parties, one within AEW, one outside of AEW, and they both unanimously said, hey, you can get rid of him, and it's with cause, and it makes sense, so if you don't feel good, you're pretty much safe, which he is, obviously. There's no way Punk's winning any kind of lawsuit against AEW in this case. So I do like that he was still technically the ultimate final say. Take that off the screen and get your thoughts on the thing. I do love the memes where everybody showing the picture of the Elite is the discipline committee, though. It's fucking hilarious.
Yeah. I mean, in a real employment environment, if he worked for any company, you're not keeping your job after your first fight with coworkers. You're definitely not keeping your job after your second fight with coworkers. And we don't really have to terminate you at all. If you scream out that you quit and it's on recording, you just don't work here anymore. You quit. So bye. Like, so this whole thing is fucking silly to begin with. I mean, I understand why they had to go through the process of investigation. You're talking about $1 million+ contract or contracts. But yeah, having a recording of it just makes it open and shut.
Hey, welcome to the chat, Christian179. He says, also, I'm pretty sure the EVPs kind of forced Tony's hand to fire Punk. Now, there may be some truth to that, but here's what I'll say about that, is that if you have cameras in the back room and they catch everything, the only thing that they can do is they can't force his hand, but they could say, hey, like, what level is this going to get up to before we finally do something about it type deal. So even as a huge CM Punk fan, there is no other option at that point than to do what he than to take that action. Now, do I think, like Ryan was saying, like, it was a little exaggerated, it came off a little corny when he said that he felt his life was in danger, even though it might have been accurate? Yes, I do think that was a little over the top or whatever, but everything else he said is perfectly okay. Like, I'm cool with everything that he said. I'm cool with him doing it on TV and before the show in front of the crowd. I think that showed respect to the Chicago crowd that he knew he was going to get fucking booed. Everybody is very nervous about tonight and how everybody's going to react, because a lot of people bought that pay-per-view with thinking that Punk was going to be there in mind. And I do like the fact, and there's somebody on Twitter, by the way, that said some bullshit, and I replied or quote tweeted, I don't know if you saw it or not, where they said Vince McMahon would have just future endeavored him online and nobody would be talking about it. All right. And then I gave several examples of multiple companies that have not done that. So Vince McMahon talked shit about Stone Cold Steve Austin when he walked out on Raw on TV. He also talked shit about Bret Hart when he screwed him over on TV and said Bret screwed Bret, one of the famous Vince McMahon promos. He also did it with, oh my God, there's another one. There's another one I'm forgetting off the top of my head. My dog is having dreams over there. It scared the shit out of me for a second. Hold on, give me a second. Let me find this right quick, because it's really good. I thought my tweet was really good, and it should be getting more love than it is. But anyway. Randy Savage. He talked about Randy Savage. I mean, he didn't berate Savage, but neither did Tony Khan. But when Savage left Raw and was no longer on the commentary team because he went to WCW, Vince McMahon also publicly recognized that on Raw. Okay?
Yeah.
WCW would never. Hogan, Great American Bash 2000, which we talked about earlier, fired literally on live pay-per-view by Vince Russo after winning the title from Jeff Jarrett. And then ECW would never. Sabu, three-way dance, publicly fired after going to Japan instead of ECW. Let's not act like this has not happened many times before in many different companies. The notion that he would have just fired him online when Vince McMahon owned WWE way before the internet existed. I mean, let's be real here. Like, I thought that was short-sighted revisionist history. Keep in mind, I think the Elite Page and Punk thing played a role in determining what happened. Like, the thing with Jungle Boy and Glass was the final straw. No,
because if you do the same shit multiple times, of course it plays a role. There's a reason Andrade didn't get fired for slapping the shit out of Sammy.
Or Eddie Kingston.
It was the first incident, and he didn't fucking go after Tony Khan immediately afterwards.
There's a lot of people that are... Oh, the other thing is, a lot of people are saying that Jungle Boy should be fired, and I'm sitting there like laughing my ass off, like, no, why?
Shut up.
Why? He should be talked to, and he should be talked to so that he doesn't do that shit again, and he should be, the suspension is okay, I guess, because, I mean, one, he didn't have the FTW title anymore anyway, so it didn't matter. I highly doubt he was going to be on All Out tonight anyway, so I don't have a problem with the suspension or him being talked to and be like, hey, man, you can't be doing that shit. going forward with other with anybody else, not even if it's a veteran or anything. But anyway,
I feel like the only people who are doing the "oh, why wasn't Perry fired too" are people that only read the initial, like, very punk-sided, clearly punk-sided.
Yeah, that
release
that Perry ran into him. And yeah.
At that point, you're just so consumed by media illiteracy and confirmation bias that you can't be helped, because there are more than one version of events, and there's versions of events that come from punk side. There's the neutral side that Meltzer had, not because Meltzer is neutral, but because he had a report from somebody that's not a fucking wrestler, doesn't work for the company, and was just at the stadium backstage at the time. And then you've got the AEW side of things, plus a video recording. So the fact that Perry isn't fired should already give you a fucking hint that the evidence on the video probably said, you know, he probably didn't do anything worth getting fired. So why are we even asking the question at this point?
Here's I appreciate, Christian, you coming into the chat and on the show live here too. And I do agree with this last message they just sent. Well, the thing with Claudio and Kingston and even Becky and Charlotte is that, sure, they have in real life beef with each other, but they can keep it professional. That's the difference. That's the difference.
Santana and Kingston were in a match
together. Yeah, Santana and Ortiz literally just, and Kingston all just worked together at the Stadium Stampede match, and Ortiz and Kingston still do not get along with Santana at all, where now they're pushing Santana as Mike Santana, gave him a first name, and giving him a singles run. So if they can work together in the same match, despite, you know, them being super separated in the match or whatever, and having, like, they didn't never high-fived or anything like that, but they were in the same match, Punk and Perry would have never been able to do that. I don't think Punk and Paige would have been able to do that. So that's the difference.
What do you mean?
No, I mean after the fact.
Okay.
After the fact, after all the shit blew up. But Charlotte and Becky's had matches afterwards. Charlotte and Nia Jax do fucking TikToks and shit, did TikToks and Instagram reels together after their shit, where everybody could clearly tell that they were fucking not happy with each other in that match. They were fucking throwing potatoes and dropping each other on their head and shit. So there's ways to take care of it in the ring, and then as soon as you get to the back, everything's fine. Or even if there's a scuffle in the back, everybody calms down the next day or two, everything's fine. The problem with Punk is that it was never fine, because he holds on to grudges for so fucking long that it was only a matter of time before he blew up at either somebody else or mentioned something in a promo that he shouldn't have been mentioning or talking about in the first place. That's the issue here. This Punk needs to look within. Okay.
Yeah,
and then the other thing I don't agree with is, I'm kind of like, revisionist history for me as well, is, remember I said that, hey, I really hope they bring Punk back or whatever, if they can work it all out. They didn't really work it all out, and they still brought him back. That was the issue to me. I don't think you should have brought him back unless you worked it all out first.
What did I say back then when we were talking about him coming out? I said, unless you've got like 70-80% of the locker room completely on board with him being there, it's not going to work.
I don't think it would have took that. I think it would have just been the Elite. If you could have just worked out with the Elite, I think you would have been okay, because the Elite would have been talking to the other people for you if you were still doing the separate shows and separate rosters and all that bullshit.
That just wouldn't happen. I mean,
and not that they're going to change like somebody like Eddie Kingston's mind or anything, but like maybe some of the lesser known people that have like no relationship with Punk, maybe they could have changed theirs. But that's the thing, is I think that was step one of the mistake, not making sure that everything was okay and not having those meetings that apparently Punk side wanted to have, and not ever having those. I would have never brought him back, hindsight, obviously, for sure. Unless those things were taken care of.
Here's the thing though. People are quick to blame the Elite for not having those meetings. Brother, they don't owe you any kind of fucking forgiveness, apology. The whole thing of it all coming out afterward, that they were never the ones who had any fucking conversations with, even at the press conference when Punk was trying to corner Housman on, oh yeah, didn't your buddies, the Young Bucks, tell you? And he's like, no, that's not where I got that story from. Literally fucking, and that Housman is CM Punk's like go-to source for leaking his shit now. So it's funny that he's the one that he tried to call him out at the All Out media scrum or whatever as, oh yeah, and you know, when the Bucks were leaking, he's like, I've never fucking talked to the Bucks about that. What are you talking about? So he even finds out in real time when he's trying to do his little planned fucking rant at the media scrum that he has no idea what the fuck he's talking about. The Bucks have always said, like, no, we never talked to them about Colt Cabana or anything like that. That was like rumor mill shit, whatever. So it's just silly, dude. Like, everything that he's mad about is shit that he does. He's the one that leaked the goddamn Jungle Boy story.
He's the one that fucking leaked that. And he's going to bitch about Young Bucks leaking stuff that ends up they weren't doing at all. It's just a fucking hypocrite. I'm glad he's gone.
Would you say that everywhere Punk goes, trouble seems to follow him?
No, he is the trouble.
Here's the deal with the, and I don't agree with Ryan's take on the WWE part of it. I think he really was fucked over in WWE. I don't care what anybody says. The man was fucking about to die in the ring, and they still was trying to make his ass work. And no, so no, I totally agree. He won the fucking lawsuit, so I can't sit here and say that no, he never had any trouble like this. I think a lot of people were saying, you know, after he's been gone for 7 years or whatever the hell it was, that maybe cooler heads would prevail and he would actually mature, and he didn't. He got worse. Somehow he got worse. It doesn't make any sense. That doesn't make any sense to me.
He's a bitter.
So I do feel like a lot of the issues in AEW were clearly his fault. In WWE, no, I don't think so. And I don't think he had really any trouble in Ring of Honor. He had some troubles with some guys in the back, like the Eddie Kingston, obviously, who brought it up in promos and stuff, but not most of the people. No, I don't think he had a lot of issues in Ring of Honor.
I think his interpersonal issues are still his fault. I mean, sure, Dr. Amon or whatever the fuck his name was shouldn't have been trying to tell him, oh, no, you're good. Just take this antibiotic and go out there. That's obviously stupid. But interpersonal issues that he had, where he had conflict with people, rubbing them the wrong way, I mean, that's always... You don't have someone that has that many problems everywhere that they go without them being the problem. So,
all right. So I guess that's it on the CM Punk thing. The other thing is I said this, and I do believe that if they would have fixed the pop problem before, or maybe just not have ever brought him back, that there would have been a higher chance of him being brought back later on, like now or another 6 months from now. Well, now it's like I'm giving it like a 5% chance he ever steps foot in AEW ring again. The only reason I say that is because never say never in wrestling, which is an accurate thing. Vince McMahon had the same problem with a lot of people. Never thought you would see Bret Hart again in the WWE ring. Never thought you'd see Hogan again in the WWE ring. Never thought you'd see Ultimate Warrior. You saw him multiple times in the WWE ring, even after all the fucking bullshit backstage and the hostage situations and the firings and all this other stuff. He got punched out by fucking Bret Hart and eventually brought him back. Now, obviously, it was too late for Bret Hart to wrestle, obviously, because he had the stroke.
There was also nowhere else to go then.
Yeah, but I mean, Vince has always been a guy that, well, he did the same thing in even then when there was somewhere to go. How many people went back and forth in WCW and WWE all the time?
Not that many. Unless you're talking about like right when WCW was collapsing, not really that many.
But anyway, I do believe that you never say never, but I would give it like a 5% chance we ever see Punk in AEW again.
Yeah, a lot of people are crazy. There's no way. Not only because he's lost the Elite's support with them wanting him there at all, but when you lose Tony Khan's support on top of that, there's nobody there that wants you except for your friends. They want you to come back, but that has no fucking sway. Like FTR and Brody King and whoever can be backstage. Oh, I wish Punk was here. Tough shit. Like, he fucked up. That's it. You don't have enough pull to outweigh the owner of the company who fucking bankrolls everything and the guys who helped starting. Like,
I think the thing I'm most disappointed in Punk is that we never got a lot of these dream matchups that we were supposed to be getting when he came over. And FTR can always talk about, hey, you left a lot of money on the table, but Punk was never really about the money in the first place. So that never went through Punk's head. And I think that was a big mistake on his part. I'm not saying he's going to go broke or anything. He's not. He's very frugal with his money and shit. But I think he should have been looking at it as a way to prop up the business instead of trying to prop up himself. They gave him his own show, bro. His own show. What does this mean for Punk's baby Collision now? I think Collision stays.
I think it'll stay live.
Yeah, it's Switchblade show for sure. It's Switchblade show. The other thing about this is that you don't have to split the rosters anymore. The only reason you were splitting rosters was because of Punk and his people. Yep. Everybody else, they're either going to have to get along or they're going to have to go to WWE and fight in Cinnamon Toast Crunch matches. So you're going to have to do this. I don't care.
I think it was it Andrew Zarian who reported that either WBD or somebody basically told him, like, yeah, the soft brand split's over. We're done with that.
You might as well. The only thing I don't like about that is that I don't want Khan starting to book the same people on both shows every week. either. I would still like to be able to see the reason I did like the soft brand split is because I got to see way more of their talent. Yeah.
I agree with that, but that's a matter of proper utilization and spreading out your shit more than it is like it has to be some kind of like conscious split. So one week you could do Jay White on Dynamite, just don't put him on Collision that week. Put somebody else in that slot. As much as I love Jay White, I watch him every fucking show. But you do want to get more, you know, diversity.
I think the reason another reason that Khan did the soft brand split, obviously besides the glaringly obvious CM Punk thing, is that when you're booking shows and selling tickets weeks and weeks in advance, people are kind of get the idea of who they're going to see, and that's why they bought the tickets for that show type deal. Mm-hmm. I think that has something to do with it as well. So if you knew you were going to be, if you know there's a good chance you're going to see Bullet Club Gold, CM Punk, House of Black, FTR, and that's who you like, then yeah, I'm going to buy the tickets for that. Now you got to blindly buy tickets and you don't know who really is going to show up either.
I mean, that kind of works both ways though, doesn't it? Because if you think about the Raw SmackDown split and you know who's going to be there, then it'll also make you not buy tickets. Whereas you might have if you thought that somebody that you really like.
The problem
liked
with the Raw SmackDown split is that I'm tired of seeing the goddamn same 10 matches over and over and over and over and over and over, where we don't have that problem in AEW.
Yeah. But yeah,
do I really want to see Santos Escobar versus fucking Austin Theory on SmackDown again for the 30th time? No, I don't. Why not? I won by it. Dude, don't start your shit with me.
Why not?
Don't start your shit with me.
What is your problem with either of those two wrestlers?
All right, we talked about Punk for an hour. Let's move on. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was self-inflicted for sure. It was the right call by Tony Khan. I wish and things could be different, but it's not going to happen.
Collision will be fine without him.
Yeah, Collision will be fine, but more importantly, AEW will be fine. So even if Collision does go away and you got all the Gareths out there saying, oh, they got rid of the show, it got canceled, they're going to die. No, it's not. It's not going to die. AEW's not going anywhere.
And the funny thing is everybody's making such a big, oh, he was the biggest merch seller. Okay, cool.
What happened to Sonny Kiss? He did not get re-signed.
I think they got all pronouns, so you're good.
They use all of them. I heard a lot of people complaining to JR about that, and Sonny Kiss came out and said that it doesn't matter.
But yeah, but anyway. I'm pretty sure her contract just didn't get renewed, is what all it was. It wasn't like she quit or anything crazy. But you're coming up on about 4 years of the company now. So anybody that got signed originally to these like 4 year deals from the start, you're going to start seeing some of these people drop off.
Yeah, so they're going to save more bottom line money. And also, there's obviously the rumor of Edge now coming to be the new head guy at Collision. Gotta pay the Edge for that Collision money so he can be the new face of Collision, which I hope he grows out his hair a little bit before he comes in, because I just cannot take short hair Edge seriously. I just can't do it. I don't know why. It does not come off well to me. But anyway, that would be cool if he does come in, though. But there's not, I mean, I actually feel Edge has a shorter run in him than Punk did when he came back, so I hope they learn from the Punk thing, and not that you had the same problem with Edge as far as backstage or anything, but just learn from that and be like, hey, let's pump out these fucking dream matches while we have him before we don't have him anymore, is what I hope they do with Edge.
I mean, your dream match. When people are talking about the CM Punk dream matches, I'm like, okay, cool, here's a list of people that are going to have to carry him to a passable fucking match. Like, CM Punk versus Jay White. Jay White is so much fucking better than him. That for that to even work would be like, it'd be such a carry job. We're talking Bret Hart, Tom McGee level shit. So I'm not feeling any sense of loss.
That doesn't diminish the fact that it's a dream match, though. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Because if you look at Hogan versus The Rock, which everybody said was a dream match, you're not going to sit there and tell me that Rock wasn't carrying Hogan that entire time.
Yeah, he was.
Okay, so it's still a dream match, though. It doesn't diminish the fact that it's a dream match, is what I'm saying.
I wouldn't call that a dream match. That's what I'm saying.
I am.
Well, you know what?
Let's talk about...
It's a very apt analogy from how Hogan, like, your boy has been acting.
Yeah, well, I wish Tony Khan would have acted like Eric Bischoff and just been a heel on screen with him. It would have been great. He could have played the Eric Bischoff role. It would have been hilarious. All right. So anyway, let's...
These karate gloves.
Let me give myself the prediction championship. I haven't updated the numbers yet, but I did gain 2 matches on you at All In. Both of the ones that we picked differently, I won, which was great. You picked House of Black, and I picked House of Ass. And I also picked Saraya, and you picked Sheeta. Now, the other ones, I still got three wrong, though, because they wanted to surprise me and have every member of the goddamn Elite lose, which pissed me off. I think I finished 8-3, and you finished 6-5, if I'm not mistaken. So, yeah, so I gained two more matches.
I thought for sure with the FTR legal shit that they would just, just for safety reasons. Not safety like, he's going to start shooting people. Safety like, you don't know legally if he's going to be in a situation where he might need to dip for months or whatever. I think that whole case gets thrown out, though, for the record.
All right, so there's our prediction records right now, but I'll be 75 and whatever, and Ryan will be, well, I'll be more than 75. I'll be 81 and something. Anyway, I'll update them after the All Out. What we're going to do right now is the All Out stuff, right? So that did not work. Did that not work? No, that did not work. Where's my prediction? Where's my prediction shit at? Give me a second. Give me a second. Did I get rid of it? Shouldn't have.
It's up on the screen right now. What are you talking
about? No. I'm talking about the actual logo or whatever. Pay-per-view logo. There's the All Out logo.
Damn, that starts in a few hours, don't it?
Yeah, that's why we're doing it next instead of prediction logo. There we go. Prediction sure to be wrong. Let's do this real quick. I don't have the graphics because, you know, I didn't know we were going live today. So I'm going to pull it up. Let's pull it up on Wikipedia. Let's pull it up on Wikipedia. There's a lot of fucking matches. I'm kind of glad I didn't have to do the graphics on this one, to be real with you. All Out 2023. Here we go. We're just going to start. Holy fuck. All right, we're going to start with the three matches on the 0 hour. Let me get my notepad out here so I can write this down. Predictions. So yeah, I'm 81-21, and now Ryan is 76-26 for the overall records. AEW All Out. Now, we didn't do Payback predictions, which is probably good, because I would have picked everybody different because WWE actually had the people that should have gone over to go over, which I was shocked about. We'll talk about that soon. Except for one match.
I would have gotten Becky right.
I don't know. They had a good match, too. We'll talk about that in a second, though. All right, let's start from the top. Athena, Mercedes Martinez, and Diamante versus Sheeta, Willow Nightingale, and Sky Blue in a 6-woman's tag match.
They probably just have Sky Blue take the pin there, yeah?
No, I don't think so. I'm actually going Sky Blue's team.
What's the build toward somebody else?
Not really anything. I mean, they have build as far as Diamante, Mercedes Martinez, Willow Nightingale. They've been doing stuff on Collision the past few weeks. But it usually involves Statlander 2, who's now obviously having a different match. That's why she's not in this one.
They might be setting up, because Willow's already done the Athena thing a few times. I wonder if they might be trying to set up like a Sheeta versus Athena thing for the ROH title. You would have to have them win for that to make sense. I'm just going to stick with my gut on that. I'm going to say Athena's team wins.
Okay. I'm going to go with the hometown girl, Sky Blue, in Chicago. He's going to try to get any good favor he can with the Chicago crowd. So.
Oh, shit. That's right. She
nope,
is from there.
You've already made your pick.
Nah, switch it.
Nope. You've made the pick.
Nah.
We've got it on record.
There's no final answer, okay?
There is a final answer. What the hell? You gonna do? You gonna give me a new answer after they lose? After the match, no. You gonna text me and be like, no, that's my final answer.
The match
now?
Happens. That's how our prediction works, yeah. So I'll go with the face team on that, because I forgot she was from there.
I mean, it don't matter. You're not gonna catch me, so it doesn't matter.
Okay.
I'm killing you.
By five.
The over budget battle royal. I don't even know who the fuck's in that.
Roderick Strong.
Is he in it?
I don't fucking know.
Doing that. We'll skip that one. I don't know who the hell's in it. It's for charity.
Yeah, but isn't it? What's the one that they're doing to figure out? No, that's a tournament, isn't it? To figure out who's supposed to go.
Yeah, it's a tournament that hasn't happened yet. It's not going to start till Arthur Ashe, I believe, or some shit. Anyway, the Acclaimed are defending their titles against Jeff Jarrett, Satnam Singh, and Jay Lethal. That's an easy one for me. I'm going to the, I'm going to the Acclaimed.
Really? You think so? Satnam Singh's so big, though.
Man, I swear to God, I'm going to shut the fuck up and pick the goddamn match.
Yeah, you already know what the pick is, so next.
All right, now let's go to the main show. We got Luchasaurus with Christian Cage versus Darby Allin with Nick Wayne. I'm actually going to go Luchasaurus here because I think Nick Wayne is going to turn on Darby Allin and join up with Christian Cage and do what Jack Perry should have done, since they were going to turn his ass heel anyway.
Interesting. Yeah, I guess all the dissenter with the AR Fox stuff would make that
You're going to have to pick a match first because you're going to just steal my fucking picks after I fucking explain why I'm picking them.
I mean, we usually go back and forth, so...
Oh, you're going to go the next three. The next three is you.
Stop saying your shit first, and then I
next three is you.
Picking second, dummy.
Miro versus Powerhouse Hobbs.
Miro. I got Miro on that.
I'm going to start typing in both, because it's easier than writing both of our fucking names. Anyway.
Batlander, I have winning that.
As do I. Next up, this is your third one. Apparently, you got all the easy ones. Danielson versus Ricky Starks.
I don't know that one's easy because I could see a situation where Big Bill interferes and Starks wins because Starks needs to win more than Danielson does. They've done so much start stop shit with Starks that it's kind of time to either pull the trigger on him or fuck off. And, you know, Danielson has no problem, like, having younger guys that they're trying to boost go over him. And with it being a strap match and a no DQ and all that, there are a lot of ways to give Starks the win in a way that doesn't make Danielson look bad. The thing that's going to look bad is that this is a show where you've got the entire fucking Black Bull Combat Club on the card and backstage. So if it's no DQ and they start fucking with Danielson, why is the entire Black Bull Combat Club not going out to go beat the shit out of Starks? That's the part that won't make sense if they run it that way. But it wouldn't be the first time that they have not come out to save Danielson.
They gotta worry about their own matches. They're all involved in their own matches. They can't possibly do two things at once.
Yeah. And obviously with it being a last-minute substitution, you don't normally have the last-minute substitution win. Or at least AEW does.
I don't know. AEW does it. Pack was the last minute substitution against Kenny Omega and beat him.
Right, but how long ago was that, Jack? That's the point.
I mean, how many times do they actually do that, Ryan?
Pretty often. They have a lot of fucking issues where people have to come in.
It ain't for a title, so no, it's not the same.
I'm trying to think of a way where it would make sense for Danielson to win that with Big Bill at ringside and it being no DQ. And them trying to the whole point of this being that they're trying to build up Starks' stock. Wasn't the MJF match a... was that a strap match too?
No, I don't think so. MJF had a chain match. It was with Danielson, it was an Iron Man match. Yeah.
No, I'm not talking about the dog collar one. Fuck. I'm going to say... Starks. I'm not confident on it, but I think the entire point of this whole build for him is to make him credible. I'm not sure that he would have gone over Punk if that was the match, but I don't think Danielson has a problem losing. I do think he probably needs a little bit more recovery time for his arm anyway. So if he takes time off after this match again to finish whatever, like nobody's gonna Danielson could lose like 50 fucking matches and will still always be seen as credible, so it's fine.
I'm going Danielson, but I do like your pick. I was going back and forth as well. This is one of the harder ones just because, yes, I do believe that if it was Punk like it was supposed to be, Punk would have easily won defending the Dragon's honor or whatever, which is clearly the whole storyline, and that Punk was still trying to teach Starks that, yeah, you can be a bad guy, but there's ways to do it type deal. They weren't so alike, even though they technically are. But Danielson, like you said, might not be back in time. Starks getting a win over fucking CM Punk and Danielson and being able to use that in promos going forward, like, that's pretty cool, especially if you want to catapult him to the next level. So I get all that, but I'm just going to go with the safe pick here. I'm going to go Danielson. All right, next up, we've got Omega versus Takeshita. This is the match that a lot of people wanted to see at All In. Now we're getting it here in a singles match. Is this the match where Takeshita, the young guy, goes over the established veteran instead? Or do you think Omega wins?
I think Omega wins. He already got the pin on him at All In. So you're just giving Kenny his win back. There is a point where you have somebody lose a little bit too much. And I don't think Omega losing here really makes sense.
Losing two back-to-back pay-per-views, yeah, I don't see that happening either. But hey, I didn't think he was going to lose at All In either. But yeah, I got Omega as well. The other reason why I have Omega is the fact that Ospreay could come out afterwards.
Maybe.
And attack him? You never know? Because, like, what do you do with Omega going forward if this was his kumbaya moment against Callis, and we all know Callis isn't going to move on from Omega. So does Callis go and get somebody else? Or does Callis actually move on with Takeshita somewhere else?
Because if Kenny beats him, then it defeats the whole purpose of everything he's been saying, and he might just be gone for a little bit. Yeah, you can always bring him back in later. But
I don't know. I feel like he's clearly trying to get into the head of Sammy Guevara. I don't think he's really going to go anywhere. I think he is going to extend the family eventually, and I think Guevara is the next one, but that's the next slow burn storyline that they're doing, obviously, because Callis is involved in that as well. Maybe just takes a break from Omega and then eventually comes back, possibly. Or just the Elite in general, after he forms his family, goes against the Elite, the Don Callis family versus the Elite type deal.
Maybe.
I don't know. We'll see. Next up, Bullet Club Gold. One of my favorite fucking things on TV, obviously, right now. Versus FTR and the Young Bucks. Now, this one's hard because the Bullet Club Gold won at All In, but so did FTR. But the Young Bucks lost. I really want to go FTR and Young Bucks here. But clearly, they're not getting along. It wouldn't really make sense to me, in my opinion, to have Bullet Club Gold lose anything for any other reason other than the fact that they just won it All In. Because of the dissension between FTR and the Young Bucks, and clearly the Young Bucks are still not over the fact that, kayfabe, obviously, that they didn't win on the biggest stage of all time in the rubber match, so FTR is up there. There's a good chance, and I don't know how good a chance it is, but I was thinking about this, that Young Bucks just leave them high and dry.
Yeah.
And fucking say, fuck y'all, and make them lose, and then you have Bullet Club Gold eventually challenge again and possibly maybe even beat FTR for the tag titles.
The best possible scenario for this match, storytelling-wise, is they start the match like normal, everything's good, FTR and Bucks have some kind of miscommunication, they hit each other, whatever, Bucks fucking double super kick both them boys, they give Jay White a little too sweet on the way out, and fucking dip, Bullet Club is for life, baby, and they're just gone. And then FTR gets fucked up by the last four after a valiant
effort. I actually do, I mean, I have it already written down, I am picking Bullet Club Gold, I don't know. Yeah, are you doing too?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's hard for me to do it because it's very hard to imagine a world where FTR and Young Bucks team up and they lose, but
not against Bullet Club Gold. They could absolutely be doing the, this is where we gain respect for each other and hug it out at the end and friendship wins and we respect each other now and move on shit, but I don't think they're doing that.
I would be really cool with this, especially if this ended up being a thing where the guns feel a little bit slighted as well because they're the tag team of the group. And this eventually breaks into a fatal four-way tag team match for the tag titles at at either Wrestle Dream or possibly Full Gear. I think that would be fucking awesome if that was the case. Full Gear is a little bit too far away for that, but with the way that they're building the FTR Young Bucks side of it. But Wrestle Dream, I'd be totally okay with a fatal four-way fucking tag match with between all four. You got the FTR Young Bucks, Guns, and then of course Bullet Club Gold Bang Bang Gang with Jay White and Juice Robinson. I think that would be cool, but I don't think they're gonna go that way, but that would be cool as fuck. All right, we both picked Bullet Club Gold on that.
Wait, Wrestle Dream is the first, right?
The very first, yes. October 1st.
I kind of want to go to that, but I just went to Forbidden Door. I don't know if I can just
that's in that. Seattle, right? Didn't you say that's in Seattle?
Yeah.
Better Than You Baby defending their Ring of Honor World Tag Team titles for the first time against Alex Reynolds and John Silver, which sucks because I really want Alex Reynolds and John Silver to be tag team champions. Yeah. And like their whole style, them going back to their old school style or whatever, where they're more serious or as serious as you can be for John Silver.
When they were the Beaver Boys, were they fucking serious?
Talking about Dark Order. Beginning of Dark Order.
I guess.
But I'm going better than you, baby. Because this is the most exciting thing on Dynamite. Whereas Bullet Club Gold is the most entertaining thing on Collision. So you got to keep this going. You don't have them not turn on each other at All In and then literally turn on each other at All Out. I think this keeps going.
Probably, yeah. And I think, you know, it's not like the Dark Order losing is so unexpected or hurts them in any major. Yeah, I think it just makes sense.
All right, the next one I'm going to let you go. This next one is Samoa Joe versus Shane Taylor.
Give me that Shane Taylor match, baby.
Well, I think you actually know more about Shane Taylor than I do, honestly.
Yeah, I do. But I still have Samoa Joe winning. Like, there's not been enough build for this to pull a trigger on a Samoa Joe loss right now.
Which is one of the main reasons why a lot of people didn't like the idea of these two pay-per-views being that fucking close together.
But they could have been doing the build the whole time. Because it's an ROH title. There's no reason you couldn't be doing that build on
ROH. I don't like that anyway on an AEW show. So I already don't like that in general. So it doesn't feel right. I'm just not feeling it. Speaking of Ring of Honor titles, Shibata. He is the pure champion, and he's teaming up with Eddie Kingston, who's the New Japan Strong champion. And this is a match that a lot of people are looking forward to. And they're going against Claudio and Wheeler Yuta in a regular-ass tag team match, but it's going to be brutal. They're going to slap the fuck out of each other in this match. It's going to be awesome. You have Kingston and Shibata winning here.
Yes, because I think they have to keep setting up the Kingston-Claudio stuff, and I don't think if Kingston loses here that there's really a good argument to keep pushing that program for a 1v1.
Correct, I agree, but the other way they could do it, which I don't think they will on such a big stage, but they could have Yuta get the pin over Shibata and then have him have a reason to go after Shibata again for the title that he lost to him. Yuta, I mean, that's the only way you're going to be able to protect Shibata is in a tag team match anyway.
When they had their match, Shibata beat the shit out of him the whole time. So I don't know how much sense that would really make.
Yeah, but who's Shibata we'll losing see. To?
Nobody, as it should be. He's the wrestler. He should retire with that fucking
Actually, dude. That's Mickey Rourke. But I've got Kingston and Shibata winning too, because I think if you're going to have that match on this card, you clearly build towards the main title of Ring of Honor, not the pure title of Ring of Honor. So I agree with you on that. I only agree with this, and I'm only picking this if Kingston eventually finally fucking beats Claudio. If he loses to Claudio again, I'm gonna be pissed.
Yeah, I think you have to pull. He's gotten so popular at this point, it just makes sense to pull the trigger on him. Claudio can get his win back down the line, and it doesn't hurt Claudio at all. But you have to at some point have Kingston get this belt.
All right, and finally in the main event, let's talk about it. I've already got my pick written down. It's Orange Cassidy defending the AEW International title for the 32nd time against Jon Moxley. Love Jon Moxley's promo on Collision, by the way.
It does a really good job.
That was a great way to build up his opponent and also not make you feel like he's scared of him at the same time, if that makes sense.
Right. It's like, oh, yeah, you know, I just have to figure him out, which I don't think is going to be that hard, but... 30 however other many people couldn't do it, so y'all can stop clowning on him, but I'm not really that worried either, because I know that I'm better than the other 30 people. Yeah, it was a good middle ground to find for keeping the match, like, not making it seem like it's going to be like a one-sided shit show.
The one thing I don't like about Moxley's promos, which he didn't really have here, but a lot of times he does when he does the backstage ones where he's just by himself, feels like Michael Scott, where he's trying to do improv and he doesn't know how he's going to end it, so he just keeps going and going and going until he finds something that sounded good at the end. This one where he said, "Don't let us down," I thought that was a great ending, because that's not usually how he does it. Usually he builds himself up and starts yelling into the fucking camera more and more and more. But this one he was more laid back and shit, and he's like, "Hey, don't let us down," and gave him the side view. I thought that was really cool how he did that. I actually have Orange Cassidy winning this, by the way.
Yeah, I do too. I think this is the final capstone for his run. It gives it a lot of credibility to have him go over Moxley here. And then maybe the very next, whatever his very next program is the one where he loses the belt. Moxley can take the loss it won't hurt him at all long term to lose here. It helps Orange Cassidy a fucking ton to win here as part of his run and have that be like the final successful defense of his run. He went through the whole fucking company, including John Moxley, finally won. But now he's so broken down from it that whoever he goes against next is just going to take advantage of that. Because, you know, Moxley's going to beat the shit out of him. So he's going to be real broken down. But the whole story is he just can't say no to any challenges the whole time. So the next person that does it is going to come to him when he's super fucked up. Like next week or next pay-per-view or whatever. He's just like still... I imagine they do it on maybe even Wrestle Dream, since it's relatively close. But I could see them. I could see him losing the belt now on even like a television show on a Dynamite 1 week if they do like a special branded Dynamite and have him lose there. Because after the Moxley match, you know, the story would have to be like he's gotten through everyone and worked so hard, but he's just fucked up now. And that someone's going to swoop in and take it. So yeah, I have Cassidy winning this too. I can see them giving it to Moxley. I just think that the way that you package this story is to have him beat what is essentially like AEW's, not final boss, but like one of the main bosses, I guess, if you want to look at it in like a video game type context.
Yeah, I feel like he's the final boss.
Yeah.
I mean, the only other person that would be up there is obviously Omega. And maybe Sting on some level because he's undefeated in AEW. But
because he fucking no-sells everything, yeah.
You can imagine that Orange Cassidy beat Moxley and then lose the Sting at Wrestle Dream for the AEW International title.
That's perfect, actually. Yeah, just give it to Sting.
Yeah, that'd be cool as fuck. But anyway.
No, don't do that.
Oh, yeah. The thing about this match is, like, the way I'm thinking of it in my head is Orange Cassidy gets his moment. He's in a main event of a pay-per-view with a title online that he's held forever. He gets his moment, right? And I don't really care if he loses the next one or not, or next big program. I agree with you, whatever that is. I don't know if he'll lose the next match because they have him wrestle every fucking week, it seems, for the title. But his next big program, I'm okay with that if he loses. But the other thing is like when I think about the match, if let's say Moxley wins and I put myself, my mindset into, hey, Moxley just won the international title. I'm not going to be sitting there like, oh, thank God he needed that. I'm so glad he was able to get that, yeah. You know, like. So there's no point in him winning it, honestly.
Right. And what does that title run look like? Who takes it off of him?
Yeah. You have Orange Cassidy. Who beats Moxley, who is unbeatable and just took it off the dude that just went 32 straight matches? No one's touching Moxley then if that's the case.
It's booking themselves into a corner to have him win here instead of losing to like a fucking roll up or mousetrap or something, you know?
Now, with all that said, that doesn't mean it's not going to happen. But I'm just saying, I don't know how you book yourself out of that situation. I agree. All right, so there are the predictions sure to be wrong. Don't bet on these picks. Usually when we agree a lot, we're wrong a lot, like all in. The three matches I got wrong were all three matches that we picked the same on. So keep that in mind. All right, let's move over and talk about Payback. Did you watch Payback?
I watched two matches on Payback, so no. I was watching Collision. I'm a collider now.
I watched both, but okay.
Okay.
Cool. Let me get this
prediction. I started watching The Sopranos.
Let me get this reason. Prediction. Oh my God. All right, well.
I've never seen it.
Yeah, well, you're going to be pissed off at the end, so it doesn't matter.
Well, right, not really, because I already know what the ending is, because it's been spoiled.
Well, that's dumb to even watch it then. Like saying I'm going to watch How I Met Your Mother. That's the fucking worst ending of all time.
Well, the thing about stories is that there's a lot of stuff that happens before the end. So, I'm going to watch that.
You do that. All right. So you're just going to cut it off for the last episode. I can say the Game of Thrones is really good too until the whole last season.
I never watched that either.
All right. So anyway, let's talk about let's talk about Payback. So Payback, what were the two matches that you did watch?
So I watched the Becky Lynch and
Trish Stratus
cage match. Yeah. And I watched the LA Knight match. So
that was the first two matches. So you just started it and you just haven't finished it. Okay. I didn't know if you went out of your way to see something that people were talking about online or something, like you watched that one. Like if I had to pick two matches to go watch back, it would be Becky and Trish and probably Nakamura and Seth Rollins.
So when I heard that Nakamura lost, I was just like, okay. Well, I didn't care that much.
Okay. And they did bring in Muta all the way to see him lose, by the way. So that was awesome. Good job. Anyway, so the Trish and Becky match I thought was really good. I don't agree with people saying that it was the best women's match of the year. I don't agree with people saying that it was better than Charlotte and Rhea at WrestleMania this year. I think that's just people living in the fucking moment and, you know, exaggerating to highest levels. It was a good match. It was really good. I'll even say really good. But it was not better than Charlotte versus Rhea. And I gave reasons why on Twitter as well. As soon as Zoe Stark came in and interfered, it doesn't beat it. It doesn't beat it. Because Charlotte and Rhea had a clean finish, okay, after they had their great match. Becky and Trish had a match designed to keep Zoe Stark out. Zoe Stark still interferes. It fucks it all up. It's stupid. I hate when they do this. It's been like that forever. So I'm not just saying WWE. It does that every match. WCW, ECW, AEW. There's a lot of interference in a cage match, which is literally designed and used in the buildup to keep that person out that keeps getting involved. So as soon as Zoe Stark came out,
the buildup is like, oh yeah, we're finally going to be 1v1. You can't escape. And they escape. And it's never 1v1 every fucking time.
So or this person's not going to be able to help you this time. And they always come out and help him. So yeah, even though Becky still won, it still looks stupid as fuck to have Zoe Stark even come out and get involved. So as soon as Zoe Stark came out and tried to help Trish get out of the cage when Becky was pulling on her legs, it already does not beat Charlotte versus Rhea. Like, if that would have never happened, maybe it would have been a lot closer for me. But Charlotte versus Rhea was hard-hitting one, was really fucking good, no botches. They just have really good chemistry. So that match is definitely better to me than Becky versus Trish. Let's see. The second match, like you were talking about, LA Knight and The Miz, I thought it was solid. Nothing to write home about, but no one was really expecting a 5-star classic either. The Cena stuff, I didn't mind the Cena stuff. I thought he played pretty decent, his role pretty decently. But yeah, it's nothing I'm going to go back and watch and be like, oh, I have to watch this on the highlight reel of LA Knight or whatever. Which, if you did do that, it would probably be mostly promos anyway in his career, because that's how he's built. That's how his character is. The third match, I believe, was...
Shit. Did you ever watch the Shoes of a Champion match like I told you to? Or the Shoes of a Champion promo? You go watch it. Their match was Mysterio and Theory.
Ah, yes, that's where it went downhill for me. That was a nothing burger. The crowd was super fucking dead for that match. Trying to get the... fault.
It's just not a big enough star. Theory can't carry him to a good match. Like, what do you want to do? It's fucked up.
All right, I'm already done with you. All right, so then the next match, I'm just going to bypass that match. It was nothing. The Judgment Day defeated Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn to become new champions. Now, up till that point, all the right people I thought won. Judgment Day beating Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, I wouldn't usually have a problem with it, but the way that you built up Sami Zayn in the Bloodline storyline, give them the titles from the Usos, and then they have a whole 3-month reign that no one's going to remember, and then have them lose, and finally a good match that they had, the Judgment Day is 2 thumbs down for me. Also, because I get that it furthers the storyline if you're going to tell the whole thing where Finn is going to be jealous when Damian finally cashes in, or possibly even stops him from cashing in and makes him lose the Money in the Bank. Either way, I don't care enough. You don't need the tag titles attached to that. So, didn't like that. And I will say that I did put on Twitter as well that the match was really good, but the only thing that it took me out of it, and if you go watch it, you'll see what I mean, is that it looks like Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens went to Hulk Hogan's school of hitting someone with a chair before they went out there. Like, watch his training video and barely tap these motherfuckers. Like, I'm all for safety. Like, don't get me wrong. I'm all for safety. I'm not saying go out there and crash him in the head like RVD or Sabu or some shit. But Jesus Christ, the beginning parts of that match when they were using the chair, dude, it just took me out of it. It took me out of it so bad. And then pandering to the crowd, two Canadians pandering to the Pittsburgh Penguins crowd with Pittsburgh Penguins hockey jerseys on and doing the hockey thing. They cannot re-enter Canada for a while. They will get murdered. Why the hell did y'all put Pittsburgh Penguins jerseys on? Oh my God, that was the worst idea.
So with the Hulk Hogan chair shot, Penta, when he came back out as Penta Oscuro in the Anarchy in the Arena match, he did the same shit to Santana. And I was assuming he just thought the camera wasn't on him and it wasn't going to be on
him. That's what I thought too, yeah.
Did the setup for the ladder, so that's why he was like, there's no reason to risk doing this fucking hard yet, just as set up for the crowd. But no, it was literally like one of the same things. He walks by him, hits him with the Hogan chair shot.
If I'm AEW or WWE, I'm bringing in La Parka to show these motherfuckers how to hit somebody with a chair, dude.
And to dance.
Yeah, and the dance. Yeah, I'd be cool with that. All right. So, I mean, the match was good. Don't get me wrong. It's just that part of it really killed me. Rhea Ripley and Raquel Rodriguez suffered from the same thing that Rey Mysterio and Austin Theory did, except for kind of in a different way. Obviously, Rhea Ripley is super over. She's more over than Rey Mysterio and Austin Theory combined right now, and Raquel Rodriguez, if you want to throw her in there too. Yes, no, she is. She is.
Austin Theory is a big star.
Jesus fucking Christ.
I saw a clip of him.
I'm really questioning whether or not to get another co-host.
I saw a clip of him talking to kids at the meet and greet thing.
Anyway,
natural baby face.
Raquel had no momentum behind her as the baby face because no one actually believed that she was going to win this match, and rightfully so. She shouldn't have. There's not enough story. They tried to pump the story so much. It just wasn't clicking with anybody. So Rhea winning. And it was a long match, too. 17-minute match, dude. They gave all these matches time because there was nobody to wrestle on the fucking card. It was only, like, 6 matches total.
People complain about the women not getting enough time, so you can't.
No, the match was, that's my point. Long. The match was actually good, but it was so fucking dead because no one cared about the build-up to the match that it doesn't help. I'm all for giving women time, but have something behind it. Like, I believe the fucking Becky Lynch-Trish went 20-something minutes. Do what?
When you know who's going to win, it just makes the longer match feel even fucking longer, yeah.
I will say this, the video package, and because I don't have Peacock Premium, I wasn't able to see all the other video packages, but they gave me the first one for free. The Trish Becky package was so good, and they used almost no footage from the actual fucking feud. It was just them talking in a backstage fucking thing. Did you know what I'm talking about, right? You saw that part, right? Mm-hmm. That's all they're doing. They're just talking in a video package, dude. And it came off way better than them using the same formula as fucking, just grabbing shit that we've already seen a million times from the past Raws. So crazy, dude. So crazy to me. And then let's go to the main event. Obviously, Seth Rollins defeated Shinsuke Nakamura by doing a lot of New Japan Wrestler Stars moves not well. He did the Sling Blade and the High Fly Flow. He did the Rainmaker. Just not good. Not good. Stick to what you know. I can appreciate you paying homage to them against Nakamura. I get that with Muda sitting there too. I can appreciate it, but it didn't look good to me. I don't know. I haven't really searched out Twitter to see what everybody else thinks or if they even caught that that's what he was doing. I'm sure somebody did, obviously. So I don't know everybody's collective thoughts on it, but I didn't like it.
I like that from a storytelling point of view, though, because you look at it like, oh, Shinsuke is like, oh, yeah, I know your secrets and I've been paying attention to you and I know how to fuck you up. And then Rollins is like, well, I know how to fuck you up, too, because I've seen you lose in New Japan. So,
and that would be great if the storyline was kind of like a Jay White Adam Page thing where Jay White always beats him. Mm. Nakamura doesn't always beat Rollins. I don't know if he's ever beaten Rollins. So that doesn't work for me. I get what you're saying, but it just didn't make sense with the lead up to that, that Rollins had to go out of his way to do all these moves that have beaten Nakamura in the past because Rollins couldn't get over that hump. Now, if it was a way that Rollins kept losing to Nakamura in the past and did that, that would be fucking amazing. I would love that. That would make too much sense not to love, but wasn't feeling it. Solid match. Just be those few moves. I mean, the High Fly Flow wasn't terrible. Don't get me wrong. I mean, not Nakamura, but Rollins can still fucking super athletic, can fly, whatever. Didn't like the Sling Blade. I think Balor does it better. I think Tanahashi does it better. And the Rainmaker. Oh my God. The Rainmaker was the worst out of the three for sure, easily.
How do you fuck that up?
Dude, it was not good. It was not good.
Wow.
Just whenever you watch it, you'll see. I'm sure there's gotta be videos of it online already. It was just didn't look good. It didn't look like a finishing move. It looked like a regular ass clothesline. It just didn't come off like a Rainmaker, dude. It's just not good.
That's kind of you would think that's on the person selling it, though, because most of it, for as far as the person doing it, is just the spin and holding out the arm and kind of stepping forward and through. Everything else is
I'm
on the other person.
I'm pretty sure Nakamura knows how to take a Rainmaker.
I'm pretty sure he does too, but it doesn't mean he couldn't fuck it up once.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm putting the blame on Rollins. I don't think it's a coincidence that Rollins messed it up when Rollins doesn't usually do the move. I'm just not going to.
I have to go back and watch it, but it just sounds weird. I don't know how you fucked that one up as the person doing it.
I mean, solid show overall. I'll give it probably a B plus. I think I want to give it a B plus. Because all the matches were pretty fucking solid besides like me nitpicking. Like, the crowd being dead doesn't take away from the match not being good if we're just watching the match in a tunnel, right?
Mm.
But it does, I mean, it takes away from the match, though, as well. Like, there's been plenty of matches that weren't great, but they had so much heat behind them from the fans that it made it seem better than it actually was. The Rhea Ripley and the Rey Mysterio matches really suffered from this, which shocked me because they only had to watch 6 matches. So it's like, you shouldn't have been dead at any point. So the reason that they were dead wasn't because they were burnt out. It was because they just weren't behind those stories and those matches. So I really liked the Rhea Ripley Rodriguez match. It ended up being pretty good. Just fell flat. The chair thing was the only thing I had really had a problem with. And then of course the eventual winners of the Judgment Day, but that match was really good. The Rollins Nakamura match, I said on Twitter, I said that should have been what we got instead of the ball hitting fest that was AJ Styles versus Nakamura feud. That would have been a lot better. That was really good.
Big Seeker.
And the Becky Lynch versus Trish Stratus was probably my favorite match and probably the match I'll remember the most coming out of it going forward. So you probably already watched the highest.
That's your last one.
Yeah, exactly.
But I imagine they might be doing something with Starks to build her up a little bit on Trish's way out too. We'll see.
So after the match and the bell ends, I'm just viewing that as a match. Now that the after part was a whole separate thing, I thought that did not come off that well because Zoe Stark is a really good heel. Nobody was really cheering Zoe Stark for doing what she did.
Yeah.
Like she didn't get like the huge babyface reaction. It did not come off like, you really showed her and now you're going to move on as a face or whatever. I think she's still going to be heel on Raw, so it doesn't matter. Like it didn't
come off more like, okay, yeah, fair. All right. Yeah. All
right. Yeah, we understand it, but we're still booing the fuck out of you. We don't like you. you just beat up somebody that had a 20-minute cage match. Good job. Congratulations. Like, that doesn't make you look good.
Yeah.
All right. So anyway, that was my quick review of that. I hope everybody enjoys the pay-per-view tonight. Again, that was our predictions as well. We didn't want to do a huge show here because we probably won't be back till next Sunday. And we'll cover All Out, obviously, as well. And I'm sure a lot more rumors and stories about the CM Punk shit are going to come out as well. I will also let you know next week how my Alabama white sauce wings tasted. I'm going to try to rock the LeBrons next week too. Go ahead.
I wonder if he'll get up with Colt Cabana and say, hey buddy, you want to host a podcast?
Let's bring Art of Wrestling needs to come back, baby. Let's go. And the other thing is if I get any of them this week, I will definitely show off my new figures that I was talking about, either the Hater one. I don't even know if that was a pre-order or if it's actually supposed to be coming to me, or if I get the CM Punk and the Hook figures, I will show those off as well. But yeah, it's been real. Appreciate everybody that came through. Christian, thanks for coming into the chat and chatting with us as well. Enjoy the show tonight. I've already purchased it. I'm about to get off of here and start cooking before these people come over. And I will see you, along with Ryan, next time. Deuces.